I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm,
and he got it. Young ball continues to wear him out.
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Going very well. Decided to fire up the Periscope with, just 7 days before the storm, we go live for our NBA draft special. Cavs obviously picking fifth. We stayed all the way through the first round last time. There is no way we're doing that again.
Yeah. Thank you, Cavs, for not trading for like the 27th pick. So we have to hang out. Well, actually, you are hanging out on your own because the draft got pushed so many times that it is on my wife's 30th birthday and we are in a lockdown. So I'm going to try to like actually spend time with her instead of being on the draft. So you're going to have to hold down the fort without me.
Yeah, so just triple checked with our prospective guest. We will be going live on draft night with Trevor Magnotti, our draft expert, as well as Jeff Nomina, our honorary third co-host. So we should be having a lot of fun. I think that Trevor is obviously one of the most informed people in the space in terms of his draft research, and Jeff is basically just like us. We're just fans that hope the Cavs pick the players we want. So
just a guy being a dude.
Yep. Just a guy being a dude. We're going to be hanging out all the way through the lottery. And Trevor will be giving all the insights and information. I think it could be a little bit of a crazy draft. Justin, do you remember when the transaction window opens? Is it right before the draft or is it at the draft?
So they haven't given a date yet. They are anticipating it being a couple days. So with it being Wednesday, I think it's safe to assume Monday transactions are going to be allowed. So I think we're going to see a pretty busy period, but with the Cavs being at fifth, assuming they don't trade up, which I don't really anticipate, we might see a trade back. But friend of the podcast, Chris Fedor, did mention that the board has kind of narrowed down to four guys that they believe could be there and that they'll be picking from. And that's Denny Avdija, Obi Toppin, Isaac Okoro, as well as Onyeka Okongwu, which I know, Carter, you probably feel the same way as me. I'm a little surprised that Okongwu made the final four. I didn't really get that sense from them early on, but I'm happy that he's still in the mix.
Do you hear my stupid effing cat scratching at the door right now?
I don't.
I'm getting Mike spikes.
Oh, geez.
It is the worst thing before I answer your question, because I'm going to open this door and this cat is going to look at me and say, what? Like he doesn't want in.
Well, I'll filibuster for you. I'll do that. So I think what we're going to do here is for today's podcast, because this is our last pod before the draft itself, I thought it was smart for us to look over the prospects there, that list of four names, and try to remove some of our own bias here. Because obviously we have guys that we lean towards and just kind of look at the strengths and weaknesses of each of these players and from as objective of a standpoint as possible and kind of break down what these guys might be, because any of them could be one of the members of the Cleveland Cavaliers this season. So I think a natural way to divide this, and Carter, you might even disagree with me on this, but I think among those four, you have two one-sided guys in Okoro and Toppin where, yes, maybe they're able to round out their games a little bit, but they have major question marks on one end of the floor. And then you have guys that are probably more ready to contribute in Denny Avdija as well as Okongwu, but there are questions about how high their ceiling is. So I want to start with the one-sided guys with Okoro. Carter, do you agree with that assessment that Okoro and Toppin are probably more kind of one-sided guys when you're looking at them as prospects?
Yeah, at least for next year, and probably in the case of Toppin, like it's hard to see a world in which he becomes a very, very high-end defender. I do think that the other thing that's worth, you know, diving into as we talk through this is not just, you know, who is, you know, how are they going to do? How are they going to fit? I also kind of want to hit on what it means for the Cavs roster construction moving forward as well, mm-hmm. as we dive through. And yeah, I'm happy to start on the one-way guys for now, which I'm sure their agents would hate to hear us call them that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Okoro today did say that he moved his outside shot from a C+ to a B+ or A-, which to me...
if he thought that was a C+, he must be grading on a curve.
I wish he was my teacher growing up, because I would be appreciative of that kind of a curve. But he does have some strengths, obviously. On off ball, he's a very, very good defender. I think one of the reasons why his stocks are so low is because he's almost like one of those shutdown corners. He was really denying the ball a ton at Auburn, and I think he's someone that's going to be able to come in and make an immediate impact. He's a very strong finisher. His on-ball defense is good. Not as strong as his off-ball defense, but I think you can project him to be a very good defender in the NBA. But from a offensive standpoint, how much confidence do you really have in this guy?
I mean, not much, to be honest. I don't really see a world in which he is a particularly good offensive player in year one. I think the jumper is going to hurt. I think he's got a little more off the bounce juice than someone like Devin Vassell, but you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. I think, and, you know, given the way that this team works, I almost wonder if he might get press ganged into playing a bit of the four, which is not really where you want him. It's just really hard to be a non-shooting three. And I think that in the long term, you know, I think the Cavs have proven that they've got some very real player development chops. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like in the short term, I'm not sure. Like, would you start him next year? I don't know if I would.
I don't think he's going to be a starter for this team. Like, if they draft him, he's actually my guy that if I had to guess, I think he's going to be the one they bring in. I don't think he's a starter for this team, because you're going to be going into training camp 2 weeks after the draft. There's a learning curve with this stuff. There's guys that are already going to be getting minutes there, whether it's Jetty Osman, Kevin Porter Jr., Dylan Windler is going to be getting some burn there. And when you're looking at the future of this team, in all likelihood, they're going to have a top 7 pick in next year's draft, which is very small forward heavy. And Kevin Porter Jr. to me is a better prospect than Okoro or any of these wing guys that they're going to have. I have a hard time seeing between the 2021 draft pick and Kevin Porter Jr. and Colin Sexton competing for those shooting guard minutes. I don't know if we draft a wing player in this draft, if they're going to be a starter for this team, which isn't a bad thing. Like, you have to fill out a roster, and versatile wings that can play both positions, which I think Okoro can, that they're always going to get minutes. Like, you can get this guy serious minutes in the rotation no matter what. But I do have some concerns, because I just don't know if he has the quickness when he's getting to the basket. Like, he showed flashes of that in Auburn, but we don't even know if those flashes are going to translate to the NBA. Forget being able to do it on a consistent level.
Yeah, which, you know, it's funny the way that this conversation is going. You'd think, like, why would you ever want this guy at fifth overall? But really, that's just a statement about the, you know, the quality of the draft right now.
Right.
And who's going to be available and who makes the most sense for this team. You know, I don't know if he's going to be someone who helps in the short term, but I think what you're looking at for him is a trajectory not unlike Mikal Bridges in Phoenix, where he shows the jumper's pretty busted early on, but he shows enough juice defensively and as an off-ball player that you go, oh man, if the jumper works and the defense really develops, then you got a real player. And I think that's what Phoenix has right now. They have a wing that they consider, you know, the word foundational gets thrown around a lot, but like a guy that you expect to be in your rotation the next time you're good, which mm-hmm. I think is kind of the way that rebuilding teams should be thinking about players. And like, I think that's what Okoro is if you draft him there at five. From a roster construction perspective, I guess my question is, do you think that he's someone who fundamentally affects any decision the Cavs make at any level of their roster? Because in my opinion, the answer is no, which makes him actually the safest choice of anyone.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment. And I think from a fit standpoint, like we went over his negatives, but I do think that this is a guy that really fits from a culture standpoint. He would make sense with what this team has been telegraphing in terms of the type of guys they want to bring in. He's a really hard worker. He's someone that's going to compete on the defensive end. And while I think on the offensive side, how much of an impact he's going to be able to make is going to be dependent on how good the other young guys are. Because if Garland, Sexton, and Kevin Porter Jr. are drawing attention, there's going to be off-ball opportunities for him. And he's someone that does have touch around the rim. Like once he gets going, if you get the ball to him, he's someone that's going to be able to score. And especially with the second unit, I think there's a real opportunity for him to help round out this roster as they try to be more competitive. And I think you can have some confidence that the Cavs are going to be able to clean up his outside shot. Because while I don't have the most confidence in him being able to be someone that can break down guys off the dribble, I think if he can get those catch and shoot opportunities going to the point where he's able to blow by guys because he's now a threat in those situations, I do think that there's upside with him as a wing player.
Justin, get your horns out. Shams Charania just reported that Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston. We're having a fire sale.
You know what? I thought of my favorite scenario. And you know what? Like, I wouldn't want to see the Warriors win another title, but I would love to see them win a title with like Harden or Westbrook there getting finals MVP, because the jokes would just be out of control. Like that would really be something. But speaking of players that don't compete on the defensive end, we got Obi Toppin, who I think from one standpoint, and I think I should clarify, I don't think any of these four guys are going to be busts. I think all of them are going to be able to contribute in their own ways. They just bring different team building questions.
What a lovely, lovely optimistic just to take. I bet one of these guys isn't good, and well, that's okay, because that's how drafts work.
You know what? Yeah, that's fair, but
that's okay. I just hope the Cavs don't pick the one that's not good.
I mean bust in the fact that, like, not even a rotation player within 4 years. I think relative to draft position, a lot of these guys might be considered busts in a normal year. But I do think these guys are going to contribute. And Obi's interesting because Obi is probably the most polished offensive player in this draft. I have a lot of confidence in him being able to contribute on that end of the floor. But with his age, with questions about his mobility on the defensive end, what his ultimate role is going to be is kind of up in the air.
So yeah, I want to talk about the role before I talk about like what picking him would mean for the Cavs, because it certainly seems like things are heating up for Obi in Cleveland. You know, I think we've been pretty open that he would not be our preferred choice, for a litany of reasons. But you know, a lot of the mocks are having him go there. You know, we don't hear much, but what we hear, you know, it seems like the tea leaves are pointing towards him being a heavy favorite. So kind of first, I want to talk about the reasons he fits before we dive into the stuff that's a little bit more well-trod negative territory as to why we don't want him. So reason one why he fits is hell of a pick and roll partner for the young guards.
Oh, yeah.
This guy should be, you know, the Amari comparison gets tossed out a lot. This guy should be a very, very capable diver and dunker in the pick and roll. And I also think that the shooting helps is just good enough where you can say, hey, we can stash him in the corner if we're trying to run other actions. Do you agree with that assessment offensively?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's someone that really does bring everything to the table. And I think one part you haven't really mentioned is his ability as a passer. Like I think he's a strong playmaker, and he's somebody that not only is a threat to score in the pick and roll, but he's going to be able to capitalize on the attention he draws in those situations. Like he really does bring everything you'd want in a modern big in terms of offensive game. Like, he's able to shoot. He's a lob threat. He attacks the basket hard. He doesn't try to do too much that's outside of his comfort zone. He really has a complete game on that end of the floor. And like, that is one of the reasons why, if he was the pick, I wouldn't be losing my mind. He's just somebody that I'd really kind of see as like a seventh man off the bench. Like, I just think if you're a really, really good team, it's going to be tough to cover for him, because in addition to kind of his inability to really defend in space.
Whoa. We're not talking negatives yet, pal.
Okay, fine.
We're staying positive.
All right.
So here's the other reason that he makes sense for the Cavs before we dive into the negatives, because I know we got a lot to complain about here, but I'm trying to be as even-handed as possible. The other big positive that I think, and people are going to roll their eyes, but one of the reasons he makes sense for the Cavs is that, by all reports, great dude. Super hard worker, super thoughtful. Like, I was listening to the Low podcast with Schmitz and Gavoni, where basically it was said that he said he was studying Al Horford's defensive coverage. And honestly, if there's a guy you can hope to be at his size, it's probably Big Al. Even though Al catches his fair share of strays on this podcast. I think that he makes a lot of sense as someone who, this is an organization that's really focused on culture guys with who they've drafted as of late.
Yeah.
And he very much fits that Colin Sexton bill. Now, people will complain, and we made these jokes on draft night when Sexton was drafted, which was, if the first thing that we say that's good about a guy is that he's a good guy, it's probably not a great statement for their skills. But, you know, I think Sexton proved us wrong. And being a hard worker and a good person culturally has value that is intangible. So I think that if we're betting on if he's as good of a person, as hard of a worker as we're seeing, whatever that defensive ceiling is, even if it's low, there's a higher percent chance that he hits it, it seems, than your garden variety bad defensive big.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And we should point out, there's a lot of smart people that believe he can be fine defensively. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be a plus defender, but he does have good stocks. He's got a good wingspan at 6'11". Like Kevin O'Connor, Wasserman, when we had him on the podcast, Vecini, there's like a lot of really respected draft guys that say, hey, this guy can be fine. Like, Kyle Kuzma has turned himself into a fine defensive player. And
yeah, that honestly might be the comp, because Kuzma also plays with high hips.
If he's fluidly a break-even defender, like, holy shit, this guy's going to be a top
2-3 guy in the draft, if that's the case.
Yeah, I agree. And that kind of negates some of the age concerns, because once you add that, this is a pretty polished prospect. So I'm still skeptical. Like, I understand that they believe in him on that end of the floor. I'm not an expert in breaking down tape, but it just looks so bad. And like, the things you hear from his coaches is, oh, he understands all the defensive concepts and things like that. Well, why does the defense look like that then? Like, I'd rather have a guy that hasn't been coached properly on that end of the floor and is kind of the conversation around him is, this guy just doesn't get it yet, because then maybe you can work with that. But if he understands it and that's the result, it starts to raise some concerns for me. And the other thing is, he's lean. Like, he's really small. His measurables are basically the same as Chris Middleton. And nobody's going to consider Chris Middleton as a guy that can play the five, which has been the conversation with Obi. Yeah, he's slow, but maybe you can play him at the five. Well,
like the four is his future, and he's going to have to find a way to survive.
Right. He's going to have to find a way to survive. He's going to have to find a way to add some weight. I don't know if you can ever teach rebounding, but his rebounding numbers are really not good. It's like he's a worse rebounder than Kuzma was coming out of college. So I think there are some legitimate concerns from a team building standpoint if you draft him. And even though he's a hard worker, I don't know if he is a fit for the Cavs culture, what they're trying to build, which is kind of a little bit more accountability on that end of the floor, even though the guys they currently have struggle on that end.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the stated goal. And I think that's a great segue for us to go into talking about what drafting him means for the organization. Mm-hmm. Because this, I would say, would be the single most impactful draft decision they could make. in terms of driving their future. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna tie him with Okongwu in terms of impact on the current roster and the current team building philosophy. So if they draft someone like Toppin, what has to happen? Are you anticipating, Justin, if you're the Cavs, that you're going to try to play him more at the four or the five? Because you've got three of those guys under contract that play the four and the five right now.
So I'd probably be playing him with the second unit next to Larry Nance. I think that's, you have to play him with a mobile big man, and you're kind of hoping that you can survive those minutes, because right now I think you have to find ways to get him minutes, because he is going to be someone that's ready to contribute right away. I would imagine you don't bring back Tristan Thompson. And the reality is, yes, he's a four, but you're probably not finding a trade partner for Kevin Love in this short off season. You don't want to trade Larry Nance. Like what he brings to the table on and off the floor just meshes perfectly with what this team wants to be. So with that in mind, you got two guys that are going to eat up all the minutes at his best position. So you kind of are forced to play him at the five, which I don't know how successful you're going to be there. I think you're able to get away with that more with the second unit, but it is a little disappointing when you have a guy with this much offensive polish that his minutes are going to be limited. Now, some of that might open up because they're not planning on playing Kevin Love in back-to-back games, and he's going to play on those nights. But
for the other thing is, it certainly doesn't feel like Andre Drummond is long for the land.
Oh, God, absolutely not. I don't think he's on this team next year. Like, I don't think he makes it past the deadline. But, I guess you are also kind of banking on Larry and Love missing time because they haven't been the most durable guys. But in terms of when everybody's healthy, I think you have to play him as the backup five.
Yeah, I think that if I'm the Cavs and I decide that I'm going to proceed with Obi Toppin, and maybe this will be unpopular, and I'm kind of coming up with it on the spot, so don't hold me to it too tight. But like, I almost feel like my asking price for Kevin Love drops a little bit. Yeah. And I go to neutral value as opposed to plus value in terms of the way I'm valuing him, in terms of what I'm asking for a trade back, because I need to get this guy minutes. And I think that while he's an older prospect, the defensive concerns paired with Sexland's defensive concerns, it almost actually moves back my timetable a little bit in terms of looking for a real competitive product on the floor. And that's okay if that's what you decide to do. And now you just need to go start hunting really elite defensive role players to complement this young core that you've now built around Sexton, Garland, KPJ, Toppin, and Wendler, none of whom would be considered a stopper by any measure. So there's just a lot of roster concessions you're going to have to make, and the kinds of players you're going to have to target the rest of the way to get towards a competent defense, which really should be the goal with that core. You will not have a good defense with that core.
Yeah.
Hoping that you will outscore teams.
He's basically your John Collins at that point, and you got to go find yourself a Clint Capella. That's basically the situation the Cavs put in. It's not a gamble I'd like the team to make, but I understand. Because if you have convinced yourself and you've done your scouting, you've done your research, and you think you can get him to be a fine player on the defensive end, all of a sudden he makes a lot more sense as a prospect. And he's going to be a guy, 100%, fans are going to enjoy him, because he's going to be so fun to watch. And I think it's only the people that watch with a little bit more of a discerning eye that are going to say, hey, you're giving up a lot on the defensive end. And I know some fans are always just blame defense on coaching, but it does come down to personnel as well.
Yeah. I think that you are locking yourself into being the kind of team that needs to win 125, 120 a lot to win. And that's fine. That's a roster path you can take. And, you know, a lot of people say offense is more controllable than defense. We on this podcast often like to say, Justin,
defense is for nerds.
Exactly. So that's the case. You know, I still think of the four, he is by a pretty significant margin my fourth. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the roadmap I think we have to kind of evaluate when we look at Toppin.
I agree. If the Cavs draft Obi Toppin, there's one thing you got to do, which is take the over on a lot of Cavs games. And if you are taking the over, our friends at BetOnline got you covered. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anyone else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all their great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Garter.
Justin, the Cavs are going to be looking to hire a new employee on August 18th. And even though sports and the Cavs were on a 9-month break, your business
said August 18th. You're all over the place.
Oh my God, November 18th. Fuck, whatever. You have to keep moving. That makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. I can't believe I fucked up the date. That's disappointing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the league changed it so many times, and you know what? I'm still upset at Adam Silver for putting it on Wednesday. The draft is Thursday. It is a tradition.
The draft is Thursday.
And if it was a Thursday, I'd actually be able to be on the draft podcast, so that would have been nice. But it, you know what? I used to think the draft being on Thursday was something that's reliable, but it's not. But know who is reliable, Carter? Onyeka Okongwu.
Ooh,
I know I'm making this sound like an ad read, but this guy really does bring it all to the table.
If we can sell the Cavaliers organization on drafting him, then call it an ad read if you want.
Yeah, I mean, of course, everyone's listening to us. They got to be. But like, I think what Okongwu brings to the table is basically a better version of Tristan Thompson. He's 6'9", 6'1", wingspan, plays incredibly hard, blocks shots well. He can score on the inside. He was very efficient, and he's a good on-ball defender that can switch to multiple positions, which is exactly what you want from a big man in today's NBA. To me, he just feels like the most reliable option. He's still number one on my board. If the Cavs had the first overall pick, I would be advocating for Okongwu. I just think that he can kind of do it all. There are some downsides with him, but like in terms of impact, this guy feels like a lock to make a difference from day one.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I'm gonna switch sides and start with the fit and what he means for the organization, because I think that might be what's as appealing to me as his basketball fit. First off, you know you don't have a long-term center at this point. Andre Drummond does not seem long for the organization, and Tristan Thompson is likely, even if he's brought back, I think you want him as a mentor to your center of the future, because, I mean, Tristan's just getting older, and honestly, he'll probably leave for greener pastures in the near future to go chase another ring. So even if you bring him back on a sweetheart 1 to 2 year deal, you're not set at that position.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Love, we kind of expect to be around at least likely to the end of his contract. And it just allows you to do so much more with the rest of your roster. You can go chase another guard elsewhere. You can chase another small forward in free agency. You can go sign Derek Jones Jr. if you want. Like, he just makes so much sense on this roster. And as we've talked about, man, is he the perfect defensive archetype for these guards, because these guards are going to continue to struggle to get it over screens until they don't, you know? So you need a guy who can hedge and recover. You need a guy who can switch. You need a guy who can play drop coverage. And, you know, we talk about Obi Toppin's terrible hips defensively. man, is that guy fluid in terms of changing direction, in terms of snuffing out action. Like, his defensive fit with this roster is just perfect.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And it's, I think the most valuable thing, unless you're Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid, I think knowing what your strengths are and sticking to them is such an underrated part of a center's game. And I think that he's someone that really fits that bill. I think there is potential there as well for him to add an outside shot. Like, he does have nice touch. The free throw shooting numbers aren't great. His mechanics do need to be improved. Sometimes the mechanics look very good. They're just inconsistent, which is something I think the Cavs can clean up. The thing that I don't really understand from an outsider perspective is the team is so high on James Wiseman. And I think the reason they don't want Okongwu in theory is because he doesn't really have that same offensive upside. I think him sticking with what he does well is a really valuable trait. And I think his outside shot, I think it's just as likely as Wiseman's to come around and actually be something where this guy can shoot. And like, Bam isn't a great three-point shooter. He has a mid-range shot, which I think Okongwu can add, but that hasn't held back Miami at all from a team-building standpoint.
No, I think there's this general concept that everyone's got to be able to shoot now. And in vertical gravity as a role man and as a person who can pass out of a short roll is almost as valuable as you know, being a nominal 3-point shooter at the five position. Like, I just want a guy who can keep the ball moving, who can draw that third defender in the pick and roll. And he fits the bill. He's got a little ball handling and passing juice. And I think that a really good example for anyone who says, oh, well, his assist numbers aren't that great in college, look at Bam's. You know, it's about reading between the lines with people like this, where you have to kind of see the way they move with the ball in their hands, the way they see the floor, even if the assist numbers don't really work because college roles tend to be much more limited.
Yeah.
If this guy's going to hit, that's what I love about him so much, is if he hits his ceiling, he's Bam light. If he hits his floor,
he's Tristan.
He's Tristan. Yeah. Like, that's a great range of outcomes. And in a draft like this, where the range of outcomes are as hideous as they are at times, you know, well, I don't know what Obi Toppin's floor is. Is it Derek Williams? That feels about right. The floors for these other people are so low. And I think there's this idea that Okongwu doesn't have as high of a ceiling as the other players in his tier. And I just don't see that. I see his tier in the modern NBA being as high as anyone's.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And it's the frustrating thing of the more things you do well in college, the less room for growth people seem to think you have, which isn't true. Like, he can get better on the margins. And part of the reason why I'd love to have Tristan around to mentor this guy is because I think he'd be able to help him with some of his shortcomings. Like, when you read the scouting reports on him, one of the things that gets mentioned as a negative is that he's not a real good communicator on defense. Well, Tristan does a great job of quarterbacking the defense and being vocal out there. And I think having someone that can point out the right things is important. I don't think Andre Drummond could fill that mentor role for him. And it's the free throw shooting is not great. It doesn't bode well for him being able to be someone that can shoot in the future, but it's not that jacked up. Like, it's not Andre Drummond bad. Obviously he doesn't have the greatest size at 6'9", but wingspan really is a viable replacement for height in today's NBA. And at 7'1", I think he's going to have no problem being someone that's a very quality rim protector.
Yeah. I just don't see why this is not kind of a no-brainer for this team right now. Mm-hmm. Given the tenuousness of people might mock them on draft day. I think uninformed people will go, ha ha ha, how many big men do the Cavs need? And those people are uninformed, because yeah, the Cavs have four big men in their roster. If they bring Tristan back, sure, but only one of them has a future 2 years down the road with this team.
Yeah, and Givony and Schmitz both have Okongwu rated higher than Wiseman. Like, they think he's the better prospect. And Wasserman came on the podcast and he said the same thing to us. That is not an outside opinion. There are a lot of people that believe that he's the best center prospect in this draft. And if Wiseman's such a no-brainer at 2 or 3, Okongwu, like if he falls to you at five, to me, that just feels like such a valuable opportunity, especially when you look at it from a team building standpoint, because we talked about this before. It was a criticism of drafting Darius Garland was, hey, there's going to be so many guards the next year. That's not the case this upcoming year. The case is that there's going to be a ton of small forwards. You got a lot of guys that you want to get burned there anyways. So go out and take the center that fits perfectly with this team, that's going to be able to cover for some of your shortcomings. And then you get your permanent solution at the small forward position the following year. And I mean, you could do that even in free agency, or you could do that internally if Kevin Porter Jr. blossoms the way they think, or if Dylan Windler's as good as some people think. Like there's options. And I think Okongwu complements the guys you have while keeping those team building options open.
Yeah, he's literally the only draft pick of this four that puts no ceiling or is not in conflict with any of your other development prospects minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only real downside outside of some questionable mechanics on defense and his height is just, does he have real explosive upside, which I would argue in this draft, there's not a lot of guys that have that kind of upside. Like, I don't think.
And what is explosive upside? Because I think we all agree that the best version of this guy is Bam in his very top tier. And I think the chances he gets there are probably not high. Bam is an amazing player, but man, that's a culture builder for you if you hit it. And again, the worst case scenario is Tristan Thompson, who in this draft, happy with that at five.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's someone that's going to have more impact on the game than stats. And I think that that's something that whichever team takes him is going to be pretty happy. The other guy that we need to talk about is Denny Avdija. I want to start here because I know we're going with a little bit of a format here, but you said that you think Okongwu was the only one that doesn't really add team building questions. How does Denny do that? Because I don't really see him as a problem guy.
Yeah, I think that, maybe I was, I think you've correctly called me out here, actually, because ultimately I think that the only problem with Denny is that I think he's probably a four and you're just well stocked at the four this season. And I'm a little worried about his play at the three. But I think really the only spot where it hurts you on team building is if you want to go draft another three in the draft next year. But even then, it's fairly inoffensive.
Then he's playing the four. Like if you can, he's someone that can play both positions. I think
if there is a log jam on the Cavs, it's at the four. It's not at the five, like people think it is, where Nance plays the four primarily. And that's where he's most effective. And we've proven that over and over again. Love has been proven difficult to move. I think maybe here, same with Toppin, maybe less urgently, lowering the price on Love makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think mostly I was just wrong.
No, that's fair. It's also nice to hear you admit that. I always love when you're wrong. But what I like about Denny, I do think he can play both forward positions. So I do think he is addressing needs at the three. I think he's a little bit like a young Gallinari in that way. I think his off-ball defense is a lot better than his on-ball defense. I think that there's room for him to grow on ball. But he's going to help on that end compared to what they currently have. He adds playmaking. I think he's a really, really smart and aggressive player. I think an underrated skill set is your ability to move off ball, and he is absolutely one of those guys. High IQ player. And like, I know his free throw percentage isn't great, but the mechanics don't look bad. Like, that's the thing that really strikes me, and especially the more recent videos. The mechanics look really, really solid, and as long as he's kind of got his base set under him, I think that he's going to be a guy whose shot is fairly easy to clean up.
Yeah, I think that he actually, the burden on him to be an on-ball lead creator, which I think almost everyone thinks that's not really him,
right,
is really lessened on this team. I think if you're concerned with him, your concern should be the jack of all trades, master of none. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of players have to be really solid at everything to be the kind of player that you're hoping him to be, because there's a lot of jack of all trades who aren't even jack of all trades. Like, he has to be an okay shooter. He has to be an okay finisher. He has to be an okay passer and dribbler and defender and all that stuff. And if just one or two of those things is actually below average, then I think he is actually one of those players who, when we talk about the draft, there are these guys that have this kind of profile where people go, well, they're good, they're fine at everything, so they'll be able to find a spot. And we often find that they're actually not an NBA player at any of those things, and right. they fall out. So I think his floor is a little lower than people think because of that, because there's nothing elite about him. But with that said, I do think he makes a lot of sense on this Cavs roster. And the Cavs actually aren't asking for an elite anything at this spot, other than maybe an elite defender. What they're looking for is someone who helps their other players be better and helps everyone grow cohesively. And I think he makes a lot of sense in that capacity.
I agree. I feel like he's going to fill in a lot of the needs for the Cavs if he is available there at five. I think secondary playmaking is what he's better suited to provide. I don't think he should be kind of the playmaking wing that's initiating the bulk of the offense. So maybe this team kind of forces him into his ideal role right off the bat. I do think that his ability to move and to attack the rim is an asset as well. I do think that if you're looking for kind of your NBA skill set, his ability to attack the basket with his size, with his vision as he's attacking the basket, I think that is going to carve out a role immediately. I don't think that he's going to be one of these guys that just kind of is on a team and then isn't. I think he is going to be a solid rotation guy. Like I think he's a really, really high floor player. I just don't see
ceiling here.
I don't see a huge upside with him either. I think he's going to be a guy that is on winning teams, but isn't a big part of why they're winning. Or he might be, but like, he's not going to put up the box score numbers that would kind of lift the team. Like I don't think he's your workhorse that I'm going to put up the stats and put everybody into their more natural, comfortable roles. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's going to fill in the gaps, maybe like a Nick Batum type.
Yeah. And for that, you know, and I'm not even sure he's peak Nick Batum, who was a very, very solid player. I mean, I think he earned.
No, I don't think his shooting is going to be as good as Batum, which was a really important part of why he was so good. But he does have better size, at least in terms of strength. Sure.
And this is kind of my thing with him and why I'm a little more low on him. Not quite as low as Toppin, just because I think Toppin can be a bit of fool's gold, whereas FDA, you'll just kind of know right away that this isn't a person to build around if it's not going to work. Like, in terms of, like, he doesn't really make you make any choices, kind of like we were saying that mm-hmm. Toppin does. But, like, I just don't see the point of taking someone like that at five. Like, doesn't he just feel like a guy who should be going seven or eight in this draft? Like, there are just more, there are more upside guys that are more, that have that one elite skill or those two elite skills that make sense as your like Uber role player, plug and play guys.
I don't necessarily agree. Not in this draft. I think because he's able to contribute right away, I think this is very close to a known commodity. He's competed professionally for a long time, and I think that does have value. He's going up against fully grown men, and he's proved that he can be a valuable player, and he plays with an edge too. So I to me, he's one of the perimeter options that I like most in this draft, at least for what the Cavs needs are. I'm actually curious, how about you go through what your big board would be? So let's assume LaMelo and Edwards are off the board. What would your board for the Cavs be?
Assuming who's off the board?
LaMelo and Edwards. Let's just assume they're not there.
I think for the Cavs, I go Okongwu, Wiseman. But honestly, if Wiseman's on the board and they take him and Okongwu's also on the board, I'm fine with that. I'm actually pretty interchangeable. I'm higher on Wiseman than most, I feel.
Okay.
So I go Okongwu, Wiseman, and then I go probably Okoro. And then you're right. It does get a little ugly from there, frankly. Like, I think that a guy like Vassell still, you know, you hope you can fix the jumper.
I don't know if it's even busted. I really don't.
I think they busted it.
Nah, I'm skeptical on all that. I think he's fine.
So I would probably still prefer Vassell just because I like the idea of a kind of a more traditional pure 3-and-D. Like, I'm not sure Abdia's jumper is going to be as good as I need it to be to fit that, you know, super, super role player vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Vassell, I think you can get there. And I think the individual, the team defense stats are a little more appealing to me.
Yeah.
Structurally. Yeah. I just think it's just goes to the jack of all trades thing. If I thought Abdia was going to be an elite defender, which some people do, at least an elite team defender, then I'm more comfortable putting him up there. But like, he just feels like just a slot or two. Like, that ceiling just isn't high enough for me to go, yeah, him at five.
No, I mean, I respect your opinion. I think he is going to be able to make a difference on defense. I wish his wingspan was just a little bit bigger. Like, he's one of those square guys where 6'9", 6'9". Yep. Although some people are saying he's maybe 6'10 now, which, again, kind of leans towards him being a four long term. If I'm looking at my board, and like, even if LaMelo and Edwards were in here, they're not cracking my top five of who I want for the Cavs. But I'd
let's say hypothetically LaMelo falls there.
Yeah, you trade back with the Knicks. Go get yep. Frankie. Like, Frankie Smokes would be enough for me to trade back with the Knicks at that point. I like him. Get him in the mix. Let's have some fun. Maybe a draft pick or two.
Would we be talked into LaMelo by the end of draft night, or would you be sad?
I'd be concerned. I'm very not here for it. That's I can talk myself into Obi a lot easier than I can talk myself into LaMelo.
God, I was listening to the Gavoni and Schmitz pod, and I don't know if you listened to that one.
Yeah, he's a big old red flag.
It was wild that they were like, yeah, he's awesome, but he can't finish and he's not explosive. I'm like, that's really important.
And he kind of floats in and out. He's never really played a full season because he usually quits or gets hurt. That's like, the other thing with him. I'm like, less that, worried. He's fragile, man.
Yeah, I'm less worried about the LeVar personality. So whatever. Like, yeah, that doesn't really seem to fit what the Cavs are going for, but whatever. Like, the fact that he's not a good finisher, not a physical player, and not explosive, it's like, well, it's really hard to be a good point guard unless you're an elite shooter in that case. And Even at that size, it's hard. I mean, we're watching Lonzo have a really hard time with it. So, I got just because he's like swaggy Lonzo is not enough for me.
Yeah, I think Lonzo is going to be the better pro. But here's my board before we wrap this up. So I'd go Okongwu. I'd actually have Denny at two for the Cavs. I really do like what he brings to the table. Wiseman would be my three. Then I'm going Vassell and Okoro. I kind of have those guys neck and neck. I still kind of like Vassell a little bit more, but I understand the upside of Okoro. And after them, I'd go Patrick Williams. I just think if you're going to take a swing, that's a guy that could be the high upside Kawhi Leonard type late riser. And then Obi Toppin would be kind of my board. So that's where I'm at going into this draft. I'm feeling pretty good about it because no matter who they're picking, I think the guys they already have on their roster are the more important pieces for this season. But I'm just really hoping that we can bring in somebody that's going to compete on the defensive end. And I'm really hoping the Cavs surprise us going out of nowhere and getting Okongwu. Like, I think if you trade back to eight and that's who you get there, oh my God, you're through the moon. But I really do feel even at five, that's a worthwhile pick. Go get Okongwu, please and thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Cavs fans everywhere will be watching while you schmooze with your wife.
Yeah. How about that? I feel like Okongwu is going to basically be like a younger, better version of Brandon Clark. And everybody has to be bashing their head in that they let Brandon Clark fall as far as he did. Like, I think Okongwu is a better version of him. And geez, like that guy can contribute.
Yep. I think that makes a lot of sense. People should be miserable that they let Brandon Clark fall after everyone told them not to.
Ugh.
Not that Twitter is always right, but in this instance, nailed that one out of the park.
Man, would have really upped our Canadian quota too. But you know what? This is probably a good place to wrap it up. I'm excited. It's a little nervous. I'm excited for the transaction window to lift. I'm excited for the draft. Free agency is going to start at the end of next week. It's going to be really crazy very, very quickly. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So if you guys want to hang out with us, you can do so by joining our Discord chat, which we require for entry a screenshot of a review of our podcast, which is the best way to support us. So leave that rating, leave that review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books, and send a screenshot of your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we will send you an invite to our Discord chat where you can give us feedback on the podcast, talk to us, hang out, suggest things to discuss on future podcasts, and all of that good stuff. Carter, you got anything to add there?
No, come join us for the draft next Wednesday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to go for the entire lottery, and hopefully it's a crazy one, and we're celebrating.
Yeah, we'll come to my Twitter feed at @KazAnada. The live broadcast will be there. I will not be there. Who knows? Maybe
You better retweet it. I don't care what you're doing with your wife. You better promo this shit.
I will retweet it. Who knows? Maybe I'll even call in. I don't know. I'll throw you a curveball.
Production is not built to accommodate that. So
I know your layout's going to be all screwed up, and it'll be a lot of fun. I'm just going to barge my way in because that's what I like to do. But you know what? I'm excited. Hope you guys are excited too. Join us for the draft podcast, or join Carter for it. And stay safe out there, guys. Really hope you guys are staying safe. Have fun. And until next time, go Cavs.